الله اکبر، یه فیلسوف اینجوری حرف میزنه؟ یه این مورچه داره حرف میزنه؟
An ant is talking like a philosopher in this ayah. The ant is talking wisely because it says that Solomon and his hosts do not trample on you while they are unaware. The sentence of the ant shows that prophets are not oppressors. The prophets will not do oppression even to an ant, let alone to people. This also shows that animals understand everything by the order of Allah. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website parstoday.ir Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
Islamati,
Allah my Lord,
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran,
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet,
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon,
praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back. Yes, this is
Your Station here.
I'm Asma.
And I am Beta.
Yes, and I think we're going to have a beautiful session today.
I do agree with that.
How are you, Beta?
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
You know, it goes as usual.
You know, there are some people, Beta, around us, among the people who are engaged in our life, who do try so hard to gain everybody's approval. And I wonder, why? Why do you have to attract the attention of everyone?
And they're not successful, by the way.
They think they are.
No, they don't think. They know deep in their heart that they are not successful.
Well, I just keep wondering, you know, they do all in their power to gain people's attention, and they know that those people are not that much in love with them, and they keep trying.
You know,
why is it? You're a human being. You have a character of your own. You have dignity. Your personality is very important. Why do you have to impose yourself on someone who doesn't care about you?
You know, I think the underlying reason of this action is the time that you want to prove yourself to yourself. The times that you think you can do everything, you can make impossible into possible, you can have everybody's attention in this world, and that one specific person proves you wrong. And because of that thing, that will become your idol, okay?
Yeah.
And you worship that idol. You want attention of that idol. And I think this is a problem.
Sometimes I have seen it in the other way, in the way that, okay, that person is not an idol. Well, this guy tries all her best or all his best to gain the attention of everyone. They want everyone to love them. Like, come on, the people who have this, like, everybody loves you.
Yeah.
Trust me, there is a problem with you.
Yeah, I do agree.
When everybody is in love with you, that means there is a big problem with you.
There is a big problem with your personality because you are a multi-personality okay person.
Everybody is in love with you, that means you have yelled at everybody's demand.
Yeah. Exactly.
That means you do not have a set of rules. That means you do not have an instruction book of your own self.
You don't have red lines.
Yeah, you don't have red lines because it's impossible. You know,
it is.
In this world with this much of variety, with this much of adversity, there's no way for you to make everybody love you.
It actually happens to the young girl at my age.
Teenagers in general, teenagers, I would say.
Until the age of 25. Not only the teenage.
Yeah.
Teenagers 25. To 25. And, you know, these people want attention.
You can extend that to 30 as well.
Yeah, exactly. And these people are like, oh my gosh, you don't care about me, then you are the love of my life.
I have seen that paradox as well. Like, see, they are so spoiled with their family, with everybody around them. And since the families are not large enough to be lost in the very large number of people in there, so you're only one girl or one boy of the family. And then what happens is that everybody is in love with you. Your grannies die for you.
Exactly.
Your parents would do everything for you. They would go hungry for you. And then suddenly, when you come to society,
a cold-hearted gentleman,
but it's not like that. Well, suddenly they come to society as students. They would fall for their teachers, the one who doesn't care for them the least.
Yeah, exactly.
Why? Because this is the first time they feel like, okay, I have to do something to get
have
that
attention.
Love.
Yeah, the love.
It's not like I'm sitting and they love me. No, I have to try for it. It's a new feeling and they feel like it's something extraordinary.
Yeah.
While they just forget about the whole reality that, come on, the thing that you had at home was the very nature of family.
It was a blessing.
Yeah, it's a blessing.
Not anybody have that, okay?
Yeah.
You have to be thankful about it.
Exactly.
And don't go for the people that would destroy your, you know, personality.
Yeah.
And I think we have to go for a short break, by the
way. Again, yes, we have to go for a break. And then we'll be back in a heartbeat. Welcome back. Yes, we're talking about...
And by the way, this is your
love
station.
Love seekers. Let us call them love seekers.
You know, I think the mentality comes from the point that they think they can force love.
Oh.
Which is not possible.
I'm not sure, you know. Sometimes I have read it in some stories that there are some people, they do not feel anything for each other. And then suddenly... there are some people whom one side of the story feels for the other person, and then that person is as cold as ice, as you just said at the very beginning of today's episode.
Yeah.
And then what happens is that with too much of love, with too much of kindness, that ice is melted.
You know, I think it depends on the side of the story that we're talking about, okay? Sometimes there are some people who are afraid of love. They feel like they don't deserve love. They feel like, you know, they're not good enough to have the love of someone or
under
something like that.
Understatement of the self.
Yeah, exactly. And these people are from different categories, I think.
And I think these are very in danger sort of people.
They are. They
yeah.
And mostly they're introvert people. They don't talk a lot. They don't communicate a lot. And
again,
and I
introvert
love these people.
Yeah.
Because they cannot show their feelings, you know, and they're afraid of showing their feelings.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And when they see someone that can freely talk about love, freely talk about loving them, they feel threatened. They feel like, oh my gosh, this is a new species. Then I have to be afraid of that species because I'm not like that. So if you're talking about your love about me so freely, so I feel like it's fake.
So hasn't it ever happened to you not to like someone, not to love someone, or some people? It could be applied to all groups. And then after you come to interact with them, after you see their kindness, after you see how cool of a person they are, you change your perspective. And then you think, oh no, you sometimes can fall in love, not at the first sight, yeah, but just with too much of interactions.
Yeah, yeah. It happens to everyone, I think. Sometimes there are some people even
that's
in your classroom.
That's why I'm telling you, love can happen, but not force. You know, the problem in here is force.
Yeah, exactly.
You cannot force people to love you, but if you love someone and then you show them your true self and then share too much of kindness with them, of course, just for the record, if the other person is worthy of all
exactly.
the effort you're going
through. If they deserve
through,
it or not.
And then I think you're going to make some change.
You know, the thing is, when it comes to forcing love, it's a kind of vicious cycle. The more you try to give love to the person, the side that is being in love, you are being in love with, the less they are attracted to.
Exactly. And I think the whole idea behind love is to be voluntarily.
Yeah.
You know, it must come from the heart. It must not come from the force.
And, you know, even I think there is something with forcing love itself, because love cannot be forced. If it is truly from the deep of your heart, then you want that person to be at ease.
Exactly.
You want that person to be comfortable. So you don't bother them by forcing love on them.
And
okay?
In that condition, Lita, I do believe that if you do not force and if you just be the normal you as you are, then you can share your love with them, and they would understand that.
Exactly. And
again, I have to add this point, the worthy people.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
this is
we
a really
have
important
seen
thing.
In our society, in our circles, we have seen it many times, that you do too much for the people who do not care for you the slightest.
Yeah.
Like they are characterless people, and you should not break your image in order to fit their world.
You know, when you water the flower too much, that flower will go dry.
Yeah, it would get a spoil.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The same story about human beings.
Yeah.
When you actually pour your love towards someone who doesn't deserve it too much, that person cannot even understand the amount of love.
You know, I have read it somewhere that love is just like a dress.
Yeah.
You don't have to cut yourself in order to fit that dress. And if somebody is giving you that dress, you don't have to cut that dress to fit you. You know, it's a bilateral story.
It must
be coming from both sides and by heart, not by force.
Yeah. So let's keep it here.
Yeah. Keep it here and go for a break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
So this is after the break. We're talking about people. About the people who force their love and friendship on other people. Now let's talk about some consequences of forcing your love and your fundhood to other people.
Yeah, the first thing that comes to my mind about the consequences
of forcing your love and your fondness to other people.
The first thing that comes to my mind about the consequence of forcing love to someone is losing your value.
That's very true.
That's the point.
Check to that.
Yeah. When you try to love someone out of the borders of yourself, you will lose yourself. You will find like, oh my gosh, maybe I don't deserve to be loved like that.
Exactly. Yet you forget about the very fact that maybe that person was not worthy of the love you shared with them.
And you put the blame on yourself.
Yeah. And you put the blame on yourself. And as the next consequence, you're going to lose your confidence.
Yeah.
And this is very important because it's going to affect your future. It's going to affect your interaction with other people.
Whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And that losing confidence will have its effects on the first thing, the losing your value again. I mean, it's like a cycle. When you lose your value, you will lose your confidence. And that lack of confidence will affect you to force more love on that person.
Exactly.
Yeah, and everything get tense.
And, you know, I have seen some of these people when they get into a competition in order to gain the attention or love of another person, they would even start to develop some very bad features in their personality, like they would get jealous.
Jealousy.
They would go for envy. They would envy other people. And they would be envy in that negative meaning, not in a good form. Like in a jealous sort of way.
In a way that you want to destroy the other competitor person.
Let's call it a poisonous sort of jealousy.
Not destructive one. Yeah. Because if you have destructive forms of envy, when you see other people's success and you feel like, I have the ability to do that. But this time, this is different. Cool. I think remembrance at this point is enough for all the people who are trying to force love in everything, in their relationship with other people, in order to just stay away from the road that they're going through.
And of course, we have to mention this point as well. Sometimes you force, we have seen that at school and universities as well, and in workplace also, we could say. Sometimes you want someone to be your friend. You do not know them truly. You get into that relationship, you feel like, okay, I'm so happy because this is the person that I wanted to befriend. But then, unfortunately, after a little bit of time, you realize
the true nature of that person.
Yeah. And then the thing is that they have affected you. They have brought too much misery into your life.
Yeah.
And who was responsible for it?
Only you yourself.
You, at the very first point, you were the one who initiated this relationship without knowing the consequences of that. So whenever you feel anything for anyone, whenever you feel like you want to gain the love of another person, give it time.
Yeah.
Give time to yourself. Don't be too hasty. Don't rush toward those relationships.
And don't try to force anything. So, and don't forget that you have the love of Allah Almighty.
You have the love of the King. So you shouldn't actually mistake these things for each other.
Yeah, don't be forgetful, because it's the nature of a human being to always forget.
Always
about
remind
Almighty,
yourself of
always
these things.
Forgetting about blessings and so on. There should be reminders for you every day, in every moment that you're living and breathing.
So you are a respectful creature, you have a dignity, God loves you, and that's enough for you. So don't drag yourself down for anyone.
And may our heart be filled with the love of Allah.
Inshallah, yeah. That's the greatest wish, I suppose. So thank you
for listening to us.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings. Be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about this.
We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Latif, 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 Ya Latif.
When the whole world is silent towards oppression, even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio. The voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable Discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, anger is your enemy. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Anger is neither good for a person's physical health, nor is it good for one's spiritual health. Sometimes a person gets angry at something, but is not able to let out his anger. For example, imagine a situation where, you know, a person is angry, but is scared of his life, and hence he is not capable of letting out his anger, right? Because of the circumstances, because of the limitations and restrictions. He's not in a position to exercise his anger, to make it operational, right? But now consider another situation when a person has the ability to let out his anger. And in that situation, you know, where he has the authority, he does not have those limitations binding him down or, you know, controlling him from displaying his anger. What is it that Prophet of Allah says in this regard, in this very situation? The Prophet of Allah says, anyone who suppresses an anger which could be brought into operation, Allah will give him a security and a tasteful faith in return from it. So wise people, they control their anger. Wise people resist anger. We see that Prophet of Allah said in another place that the wisest of people is he who is the most moderate, and the most provident of people is he who suppresses his anger the most. Indeed, by patience, one can attain the position of him who prays at night and observes fasting on the day. So we're talking about really good mu'mineen, right? If you can get to their status and their position by just controlling your anger and inappropriate anger, then what is better than that? Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are discussing the topic of anger is your enemy. The scholars of akhlaq and Islamic ethics, they have said that there are different paths that Islam has provided for people to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, some paths are better and faster than other paths, right? In this regard, the Prophet of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, among the best paths to Allah are the suppression of anger and having patience with afflictions. Islam has defined various vices that a believer has been urged to stay away from. Each one of those vices are detrimental to a person's spirituality. This is something we already know. This is something that is already established. Now, what does Imam Ali alayhi salam say about the vice of anger? Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam says, anger is a vice that, when followed, causes destruction. He also said, anger is an enemy of yours, so do not admit it into your soul. You know, how many of us consider, you know, anger to be our enemy? You know, how many of us, we slam the door at the face of this anger when it is about to enter our, you know, batin and in our interior? We do not. necessarily take it to be a sensitive issue. But Imam Ali alayhi salam is telling us that take it as your enemy and basically don't let it in your system. Once it gets in your system and you get used to of it, then you start using this faculty of anger in the wrong places. Of course, there's the right use of anger, which we will talk about at some other place. Right now, we're talking about the inappropriate use of anger.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
In the limelight. While the United States and other Western allies of Israel remain deeply complicit in the genocide of Palestinians, calls have grown louder across the world for the boycott of Israeli companies that aid and abet the genocidal war against the Palestinians in Gaza. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Reuters news agency has covered this story and tells us more. A boycott campaign against Israeli products over the occupying regime's war in the Gaza Strip has severely affected Western fast food giants in several Arab countries, with the move having the potential to spread to other countries across the globe. Months after the Israeli regime waged a brutal war on the besieged Gaza Strip, a boycott campaign against Israeli goods started to gain momentum in Egypt, Jordan, and Turkey, significantly hitting Western fast food giants like McDonald's, Starbucks, and KFC. The impacted companies are either perceived to have taken pro-Israeli stances in the war or are charged to have financial ties to Israel or investments in Israel. 31-year-old Cairo resident Raham Hamed, who is boycotting U.S. fast food chains and some cleaning products, said, "I feel that even if I know this will not have a massive impact on the war, then this is the best we can do as citizens of different nations so we don't feel like our hands are covered in Palestinian blood." As the global pressure is mounting on Tel Aviv over its atrocities in Gaza, there are signs that the boycott campaign is also spreading to some other Arab countries, including Kuwait and Morocco. The boycott calls of the protest campaign have already circulated on social media sites and expanded to include dozens of companies and products, urging shoppers to shift to local alternatives. In Jordan, citizens who support the protest campaign sometimes enter McDonald's and Starbucks branches in the country to encourage a few customers to take their business elsewhere. The current boycott campaign could be considered the latest part of the pro-Palestine boycott, divestment and sanctions, the BDS movement, against the Israeli regime. The boycott, divestment and sanctions movement, which is modelled after anti-apartheid movement in South Africa, was initiated in 2005 by over 170 Palestinian organisations that were pushing for various forms of boycott against Israel until it meets its obligations under international law. Thousands of volunteers worldwide have since joined the boycott, divestment and sanctions movement, which calls for people and groups across the world to cut their economic, cultural and academic ties to the Israeli regime to help promote the Palestinian cause. We'll be right back.
Newsweek magazine has also covered the same story and tells us more. The chief executive officer of McDonald's, Chris Kempczinski, wrote on a blog and reported by media on Thursday, 4th of January, he wrote, "Several markets in West Asia and some outside the region are experiencing a meaningful business impact due to the war, affecting brands like McDonald's." The big burger chain is one of several multinational corporations to be feeling the effects of international boycotts in the wake of Israel's savage campaign in Gaza, which started after the Israeli regime was caught off guard by the surprise Palestinian operation Al-Aqsa Storm on 7th of October. Some Western brands have felt the impact of boycotts in Egypt and Jordan that have now caught on in some countries outside of the Arab region, including Muslim-majority Malaysia. Meanwhile, McDonald's franchise operations is rewriting its future plan for 2024. As Kempczinski described the company's loss to investors as disheartening, he expressed disappointment over the negative impact of the boycotts on business revenue. Kempczinski claimed, "In every country where we operate, McDonald's is represented by local owner-operators who work tirelessly to serve and support their communities while employing thousands of their fellow citizens." He added, "McDonald's and other affected companies are looking for a solution to maintain a balance of global operations amid shifting political landscapes." In the meantime, Google has reinstated a mobile phone application that helps people identify and potentially avoid the products that have been made by companies that are linked to the Israeli regime. The application named No Thanks was made available again on Google's Play Store just days after it was removed. The app was launched recently amid a genocidal war by the Israeli regime on the Palestinians of Gaza, which has so far massacred tens of thousands of innocent people. The developer of the app, named Ahmad Bashbash, is a Hungary-based Palestinian from Gaza who has lost his siblings to the Israeli campaign of bloodletting against the coastal sliver. Ahmad Bashbash told German broadcaster Deutsche Welle, "I made it, the app, on behalf of my brother and my sister, who I lost because of this brutal occupation, and my goal is to try to prevent what happened to me from happening to other Palestinians." The app No Thanks allows customers to scan products' barcodes and be notified if they have been made by Israeli companies. The English website of Al Mayadeen Television Network has also covered the same story. Islamic Human Rights Commission has launched a massive campaign seeking a boycott of those governments and companies that support the ongoing Israeli genocide of Palestinians in Gaza. In a statement released recently, the non-profit organization, the Islamic Human Rights Commission, based in London, said Israel has now been committing genocide openly in front of the world's eyes. It further said that the United Kingdom and other Western governments were complicit in the ongoing genocide by the Israeli regime against Palestinians of Gaza, adding that our governments are refusing to support a ceasefire to end the genocide. Instead, they are cheerleading the slaughter of Palestinians, providing arms and political cover to the Israeli regime. The Islamic Human Rights Commission noted, "We must act now to do whatever we can to oppose this genocide. One of the easiest things to do is to boycott those that support genocide. There are many companies that support Israel and deserve to be boycotted, but this list of companies we have researched below is particularly despicable in that they have ramped up their support for Israel, often specifically for the military, whilst it commits genocide in Gaza in front of our own eyes." IRIB English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to IRIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترك همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with veterans from the sacred defense and the resistance field. The meeting was held in the Imam Khomeini Husseiniya on September 20, 2023, inaugurating Sacred Defense Week. The culture of resistance has become institutionalized in the country over the past 30-plus years due to the 8 years of resistance during the Sacred Defense. Our country is indebted to the Sacred Defense for its continued existence. Some people want to damage it. Some create doubts about it, some distort the truth about it, and others tell outright lies about various issues concerning the sacred defense. In response to these actions, those who are able to clarify matters should clarify them. We must talk about and clarify the greatness of the sacred jihad and the sacred defense more and more every day. This is one of our duties. The current activities that are being done, which are reported to us now, are good, but these should be increased 100-fold.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
We have the capability, we have the resources, and we have the talent. We can make artistic works, we can make good movies, we can write good books, and we can write novels based on real events. We can do these things, but we must also not forget or lose sight of our goal in the process. Sometimes work in the field of the arts is done with the intention of supporting this path, but that's not how it turns out at the end. This is because confusing, worried thoughts come up on the way that cause people to forget and lose sight of the goal. You need to be mindful of this. Abundant work needs to be done in the field of the arts. Everyone should do this in the way they are capable of doing. What I have said so far today was regarding the sacred defense. But I would like to say a few words about the armed forces, which is also appropriate for today. During the war, our armed forces worked hard, and they truly made great sacrifices in different areas. I would like to say a few words about the armed forces. First of all, the armed forces are one of the definite honors of every society. Their presence and existence is one of the main elements without which a society cannot survive.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Illinois Senator Dick Durbin has been called the oldest friend in Congress of AIPAC, the influential pro-Zionist lobbying committee. Protesters gathered outside his home to demand that the second highest ranking Democratic senator stop supporting Israel's latest war on Gaza. But then activists grew tired of being ignored. Protesters crossed from Senator Durbin's high-class residence onto historic Lakeshore Drive along Lake Michigan. Traffic is shut down in both directions on the most important road in the city in a rare and powerful example of local political activism. Protesters told angry motorists that the person they should be blaming was Senator Durbin.
Senator Dick Durbin actually represents the biggest Palestinian constituent population in the United States. He has a duty to be on the front lines of calling for a ceasefire in Gaza.
When police refused to release one of two activists arrested, protesters refused to move for hours.
This is not a religious issue. It's not a political issue. It's a humanitarian crisis. It's an issue that is affecting everybody in the world, or most people, and everybody wants a resolution. So we hope for a peaceful resolution. That's why we're out here.
The Arab population in the United States is about half of the Jewish population, but Arab influence in American politics and culture is relatively non-existent. For over two decades, open discrimination has been constant, as are hypocritical double standards.
I was in Palestine on October 7th. So I've lived my whole life in America. I lived in Palestine for 4 years, but we came here and I grew up here. I was raised here. But I feel like my identity as an American is shattered anytime something happens. And I see that my American colleagues and classmates and friends all of a sudden turn a blind eye when it comes to Palestinian life. And it's very disappointing. And especially when you come back and you see that your own tax dollars are being put towards this genocide.
Since October 7th, public opinion has shifted massively against Israel, especially among young voters. That may embolden activists to try even more attention-demanding protests against Israel's atrocities and murder in Palestine. Ramin Mazahari, Chicago.
Shedding light on different aspects of the martyred commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani's illustrious career. Prominent political figures and academics gathered in Tehran to take part in the first international conference dubbed Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, Defender of Human Rights.
Western countries claim to be advocates of human rights, but they are the ones who created the Daesh terrorist group. On the other hand, it was General Soleimani who fought and defeated this terrorist group. He was the one fighting to bring back peace and stability in the region. In practice, he was the one defending human rights.
The resistance front that Haj Qasem created has done great service to Muslims. Americans created Daesh. They even supported the terrorist group in different ways. And this terrorist group was on a mission to tarnish the image of Muslims and Islam. But Haj Qasem confronted them, he fought against them, and defeated the terrorist group to show to the world that the true face of Islam is a religion that seeks peace as a fundamental right that all humans must enjoy.
Head of a special committee formed to follow up on General Soleimani's murder case from legal and international aspects explained that the legal proceedings are more than just a means of seeking justice.
These legal proceedings are an opportunity for international public opinion to familiarize itself with General Soleimani and to understand the true effects of foreign meddling in the region. This is not just an opportunity to seek justice for Haj Qasem, but also to enlighten people worldwide.
The speakers reiterated that the U.S. claims to be a staunch supporter of human rights. Yet the top commander, who defeated the notorious Daesh terrorist group in the region, who clearly violated the most basic human rights, was assassinated by the U.S. This reveals the true colors of American politicians as they use their version of human rights to advance their political agenda.
The participants of this conference believe that the assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani as an anti-terrorist icon in the region proves that the concept of human rights the way Western countries have defined it needs to be revised. Gisun Shahmadi, Tehran.
On Saturday, a conference was held in the Nigerian capital commemorating slain Iranian General Qasem Soleimani on his fourth assassination anniversary. Experts at the conference discussed the brilliant performance of General Qasem Soleimani in fighting terrorism, oppression, and imperialism. They explained that General Soleimani and his Iraqi companion Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis made a huge impact on the global resistance movement, thereby saving humanity from the clutches of sponsors of terrorism like the USA and Israel. The experts noted that the Iranian general had endeavored to protect countries like Yemen, Syria, and Iraq in the face of threats from Daesh and Al-Qaeda.
He developed a lot of Qasem Soleimanis like him and has, motivated resistant praetors to produce more of his own kind. He has also made frameworks for resisting against any type of arrogance and imperialism.
The experts said Iran's alliance with Russia, its solid arms and advisory support to resistance fighters, and the country's pro-resistance diplomacy were part of the legacy of General Soleimani. They said General Soleimani made a leading role in projecting his power across the West Asia region. The experts also noted that the American occupiers in their region were always worried about General Soleimani and his men.
We are going to end their arrogance and colonialism in the Middle East, in the world, in the whole world. And he has achieved that because when you look at imperialism and colonialism, it's going down, both in the way in the Asia and in other parts of the world, because their strength has been weakened.
General Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis were martyred 4 years ago during a drone attack near the Baghdad airport, ordered by then US President Donald Trump.
Meanwhile, members of the Islamic movement in Nigeria have strongly condemned the recent twin blasts that killed dozens in the Iranian southeastern city of Kerman during a ceremony commemorating the martyrdom of General Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. They express hope that the perpetrators of the deadly attack will be brought to justice. Tanjum Abdullahi, Abuja.
As the Yemeni army's attacks against Israeli-linked vessels in the Red Sea continue, hundreds of thousands of people filled the streets of the capital Sana'a and other major cities to condemn the Israeli genocide against Palestinians. Protesters chanted slogans supporting the Palestinian resistance and hailing the Yemeni army's operations in the Red Sea.
We came out today to confirm our continued support for the Palestinian cause and Gaza in particular. We will not stop doing this, and we don't care about any alliances, as we are carrying out our religious and humanitarian duty. The Security Council was supposed to protect children and women and leave the siege on the Palestinians, but unfortunately it did not do so, and is even trying to prevent that.
In the streets to support our brothers and our fathers in Gaza, and we will support all the people in Gaza with our blood, all the Yemeni people.
People here have also denounced the terrorist attack in the city of Kerman that claimed scores of lives. They said it reveals the Israelis' fear of martyr Soleimani even after his martyrdom.
Zionism is a criminal movement that has proven throughout its history to be linked to terrorism and criminality. There is no operation targeting the resistance without Zionism having a hand in it, whether through Daesh or other Zionist and American tools. We affirm that these blasts, with their ugliness, reveal the enemy's fear of martyr Soleimani even after his martyrdom. This criminal act will not discourage the resistance countries from continuing to confront the Israeli entity, but rather will push the people to unite against it.
Every Friday, people gather in the Sabine Square in Sana'a to reaffirm their full support for the Palestinians and the acts of resistance against the Israeli enemy.
Yemenis say they want their voices to be heard by the international community, which keeps turning a blind eye to Israeli brutal war crimes against Palestinians. They have also vowed to continue supporting Palestinians at all costs, even if they engage in a direct war with all Western powers. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
The Iranian embassy in Damascus held an official ceremony this Friday for the martyrs of the terrorist bombings in Kerman. The twin attacks killed and injured hundreds of civilians during the fourth assassination anniversary of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. The Iranian ambassador stressed that this heinous crime will not stop Iran from supporting the resistance in the region.
Iran and Syria stand united in the axis of resistance. We have the same cause. Such crimes will only strengthen our determination to continue on this path. Iran and Syria remain steadfast in following this path until achieving a decisive victory. Enemies will not gain any result through committing these crimes, even if they consider them a victory. It will lead them to defeat and failure.
As President Maduro and the Venezuelan foreign minister stated, Venezuela, Iran, and Syria share a common enemy against whom we are prevailing in this stage. We strongly condemn these cowardly attacks against free and independent Iranian people. We vehemently condemn this criminal act.
Syrian officials, parliament members, representatives from several resistance factions, and some other diplomats were in attendance. The mourners expressed their determination to gain victory over terrorism. Syria condemned this vicious act and expressed full trust in Iran's ability to overcome this agony and punish the perpetrators.
On behalf of the Syrian Arab Republic, we extend our deepest condolences and heartfelt sympathies to the Islamic Republic of Iran, its leadership, government, and people over this heinous and cowardly terrorist act that targeted innocent civilians in the city of Kerman. We support Iran in combating terrorism and punishing the perpetrators of this terrorist crime.
We are here to offer our heartfelt condolences to our brothers in the Islamic Republic of Iran over this tragic event. We are confident that this affliction will not hold the march of development, civilization, and advancement led by Ayatollah Khamenei in the Islamic Republic of Iran.
From this land, which is soaked with the blood of Syrian and Iranian martyrs, we want to tell our brothers and sisters in Kerman that our blood is the same and we suffer from similar tragedies, but our sacrifices unite us against terrorism and strengthen our resolve to defeat our common enemies. A similar ceremony was also held at the office of the representative of the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, in Damascus. Attendees condemned the terrorist attack, considering it a clear proof that the spirit of martyr Haj Qasem Soleimani is still alive through his legacy, frightening the terrorists and the enemies of the resistance front. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
United as always, Iranians gathered after Friday prayers in the capital, Tehran, to show their outrage and acts of terror in the country after scores of people were killed in bombings in Kerman. They say while it was Daesh which claimed responsibility for the terrorist attack, the U.S. and its regional ally Israel are actually behind these atrocities.
Daesh is created by the U.S. Former U.S. President Donald Trump once said that Obama was the founder of Daesh. They have caused disasters in the country for more than 40 years, but our people are still standing for the Islamic Revolution. Are they blind?
How did they not see this?
Israel and the U.S. have a long history of hostility against the Iranian people. Wednesday terrorist attacks in Kerman were an obvious proof of that, as they've been supporting different terrorist groups, including Daesh, in the region.
Daesh couldn't do this by itself. It has a supporter. Their supporters are the U.S. and Israel.
Mothers were among those taking part in the rally. I asked them how they felt when they saw the dead bodies of innocent people as the attack occurred on Mother's Day in Iran.
There's no doubt that Israel and the U.S. were behind this horrific terrorist attack. It hurts every human being's feeling when on Mother's Day they see a mother killed while holding her baby.
During the rally, people also mourned for a 20-year-old girl named Faezeh Rahimi. Faezeh was a student who was killed in the attack. Iranian students of all ages were participating in the rally to show their support for martyrs like Faezeh.
Imam Khomeini once said, "Kill us, but our nation will become more awakened."
Western-backed terrorist attacks in Iran have mainly targeted popular backing for the Islamic Republic, but the people say they will continue to support the establishment and hold heroes like martyr Qasem Soleimani in their hearts. Farzan Ashuryan, Tehran.
Yemen has resumed its military operations in the Red Sea by targeting another Israeli-linked ship traveling to occupied Palestine. The latest attack comes just 2 days after a U.S. Navy helicopter killed 10 Yemeni naval soldiers while patrolling the Red Sea. The spokesman for Yemen's armed forces stated that the U.S. attacks did not and will not stop Yemen's military operations against Israeli ships until the genocide in Gaza ends.
The Yemeni armed forces confirmed that maritime shipping is open in the Red Sea and in the Arabian Sea to the entire world except for the ports in the occupied Palestine. We also confirmed that any acts of aggression from the U.S. will not pass by without punishment and retaliation. We also warned the American enemy and any other nation of transgression by protecting any shipments heading to the Israeli entity.
The Yemeni public has praised the army's military efforts against Israel.
Today we targeted an Israeli ship because they are prohibited from the Red Sea. We will eventually march into occupied Palestine so we can get revenge for all the martyrs. America will not be able to protect Israel. We will continue to target them.
Although the U.S. and other Western nations have urged the Yemeni government to end its continuous military operations in the Red Sea, many Yemenis believe that the blockade of Israeli shipments should continue until the genocide in Palestine.
We prepare for jihad against the enemies from land, air, and sea. We've already endured 10 years of war, blockade, and all types of struggles. Therefore, the time has come for us to retaliate because their blood is not worth more than ours, or the blood of a Palestinian child who is dying of hunger and being burned by Israeli bombs and missiles. Therefore, retaliation is coming.
What is clear is that the U.S. will continue to support Israel, even if it means starting another war in West Asia. Yemen's Ansarullah movement had previously stated they are ready to take America on directly. Yemen has vowed to retaliate against the U.S. military presence in the Red Sea for the killing of the 10 Navy Yemeni personnel. They have also vowed to continue